Well, welcome. Welcome to Southside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us here on this special day. Every Sunday's special, but especially when it's Mother's Day, of remembering our mothers and thanking God for our mothers. They are a gift to us that have been sent from God. And no one is poor. No one is poor who has a godly mother. You know, it's been said that life doesn't come with a instruction manual, but it does come with a mother. And I'm thankful for my mother Lisa. She's probably watching here this morning from Ohio. But I just thank God for her, and I love her. And make sure you call your mother today if you're able, and if she's still here on the earth with us. And so thank you for joining us here this morning. And my name is Pastor Lucas Cunningham, if you're new here with us. And we're just glad that you're joining us and watching from wherever you're at. Before we continue, though, I want to go to the Lord in prayer before we dive into God's Word of a message called How to Be a Godly Mother in an Ungodly World. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are thankful for the precious gift in which you've given us, and that of our mothers. Our mothers have led us, have guided us to be more like Jesus, to be kind, to be thoughtful. And Lord, we thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for my wife, Amy, who loves and helps me raise our children. Lord, may we be reminded that we should never take for granted the mothers in which you have put in our lives. Lord, I'm thankful for my mother-in-law, Donna, and how she raised my wife, and just the grandparents on both sides, Lord, and how there's a godly heritage, Lord, that we are resting upon their shoulders, how they have lifted us up, how they have helped us. So God, may we be just thankful. May we be reminded of the gift in which you've given us. Lord, we do pray. We do pray for so many workers today in our community and in our nation. And Lord, we do pray for wisdom and discernment as we continue to start to reopen our churches, and reopening America. And some are reopening businesses. Some are getting back to work. Lord, we continue just to lean and trust on you. Father, we love you and we praise you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We live in a time where many are just focused on their own personal happiness. They are so focused on what they want. They are so focused on either their job, they're so focused on gaining money or gaining wealth or gaining influence, that they miss out on all that God has for them in their family. You know, it said that God has called the man, the husband, to be the leader of the home, to be the head of the home. And while that is true, I'm convinced that the wife, the woman, is the glue that holds that head on the body. And you know that in a godly marriage, it's a team effort. In fact, as we'll see here in just a moment, I know we hear it biblically where the wife is to submit, to respect her husband, and that is biblically correct. But it also says in there, that as we'll see, that in Ephesians 5, that there's to submit one to another, to respect one another. What does that tell me? It's a team effort. You need each other to lead your family. We need strong marriages. We need strong mothers. We need strong fathers who will lead their home, who will lead their children, that will help also lead our country and our churches. We need you. And so today we celebrate and we focus and we lift up high the name of Jesus Christ. And as we are going through this here this morning in this message, I want you to be reminded of something. that in Scripture there's a beautiful picture. There's a beautiful picture. You see, in the minds of some folks, that a marriage is just a piece of paper, but it's much deeper than a piece of paper. In fact, a marriage is symbolic of Jesus Christ and the church. You see, the church is the bride of Christ. And so in the marriage home, husbands, you are symbolic of Jesus Christ. Wives, you are symbolic of the church. And we know that Jesus Christ laid down his life for the church. Jesus Christ loves his church. Jesus Christ is willing to do whatever he needed to do for his church. We know that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Church, we are called to follow Christ. We're called to follow his lead. And it's the marriage is symbolic of Christ and the church. What is unfortunate is sometimes men, sometimes even Christian men, do not follow Christ as they should. And so what we end up seeing in this passage we're going to be in today, over in Titus chapter 2, we're going to see Titus, who is going to give direction to husbands, but also to wives here in this passage. Now, we're not going to read so much about the husbands today. We're going to save that for another time, for Father's Day. But here today, I want to focus on the advice in which Titus gives for how mothers can be godly in an ungodly world. Let's turn over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And this is what it reads in verse 3. It says, similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely, to be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. And where Titus, as he's writing this, kind of the context of this is that there was much going on in that day. There was not a lot of an encouragement and examples for younger wives, for younger women to follow. And so the church has always been on the forefront. Always on the forefront of bringing respect and honor to women, to protecting the family, and giving them the rightful place. You see, there's been times in society where women were viewed as just an object or a piece of property. In fact, when you look even today across the world, Christian, any place where there is predominantly churches or Christianity or a place where Christians can freely worship, women have freedom. Women are lifted up. Now, there's still issues. There's still issues sometimes within the church. Sometimes there's issues even within our country, no question. But check out the countries that do not allow churches. Check out the countries that do not allow for church services to be done openly, and how women are treated there. They are not treated well. Jesus was really the first rabbi, the one that we read of where women followed, that they were led. They were disciples of Jesus. They were taught from Jesus. Jesus loved women. Jesus lifted women up. I mean, it was a woman who was the first one to the tomb. Wasn't one of the men disciples. No, it was a woman. He lifted them up. The first piece of advice that we see here, notice with me in verse 4, is this. It says, these older women must train younger women to love their husbands and their children. The first thing that we need to see here, biblically, that God expects out of a wife and out of in the marriage is this, is to respect your husband. To respect your husband. There once was a beautiful princess that was by a pond. And there, as she was by the pond, a frog spoke to the princess and said, the frog said to her, "I used to be a handsome prince until a spell was cast upon me. If you kiss me, I'll become a handsome prince once again. And you can marry me. You can bear my, we'll move into my mother's house. You can bear my children. You can cook my meals. You can, we can live happily ever after, forevermore." And that evening, the beautiful princess had frog legs for dinner. Anyway, I just thought that was cute, something I came across. Sometimes that can be true. But a marriage, in a marriage, the relationship takes a priority. That God calls you to respect your husband. Notice with me over in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to read a little bit here. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. I want to start at 21. It says, "And further, submit one to another out of reverence for Christ." So we see that we need to submit one to another in the marriage. That means that I'm concerned about my wife and her needs, that she is concerned about my wants and needs as well, and vice versa. There's a mutual respect and a love for one another. Someone once said that marriage is not 50-50. It's more like 100. What does that mean? It means it's not that you give 50% and they give 50%, then you get 100%. No, it's the husband and the wife giving 100% of themselves one to another. If you want a happy marriage, that's what you need to do. You need to be concerned about the other person. You know, as I have helped couples, I have counseled couples. What really causes couples to split? What really causes couples to divorce? I think at the very root of all of our issues when it comes to sin, usually is pride. And the way that ends up showing itself is usually through selfishness. Now, we all can be, because we're human, we can be selfish. We can only think of ourselves at times. But you see, when we are following Christ, we are called to submit one to another. And that means to care about the other person's needs first. You want to have a successful marriage? I do. What do you need to do? You need to care about the other person's needs before your own. And if you both are doing that, you'll be able to have a successful marriage that honors God. You see, when you put God first, when you put your relationship with Jesus Christ first, and he's number one in your life, and then your spouse is number two, that's where your spouse belongs, not number one. He or she belongs to be number two. Because when you're following Jesus Christ, and you're worshiping him like you should, and you're loving God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, what's going to happen is this. Is you're going to follow God, and by following him and putting him first, you're going to love that wife or that husband and respect them and treat them in a way that God expects you to, because you care about what the Lord wants before your own wants. So are you doing that? Maybe you're struggling in your marriage right now. Are you both doing that? Listen, you cannot help the and control the actions of your spouse. But what you can do is make sure that you have the correct actions toward your spouse. That you're being the kind of spouse that God expects you to be. You may not always get that back, but what you need to do is pray for them, be patient with them, and let God change them. Listen, wives, husbands, if you try to change that spouse of yours, it's not going to work. But what will work is you handing them over to God and saying, "God, I'm going to trust that you're going to do your part. I'm going to do my part in what you've told me to do in your word," right? And God will do his part. Let God and continue to pray for him. Let God work on the heart of that man. Let God work on the heart of that woman. You do your part. God will do his part. It may take some time. It may take years. It may take months. I don't know. You might find yourself in a situation where it's so messed up that you no longer will be together. And that's a different message for a different time. I know God always loves and wants reconciliation. There are times where that's not possible. I understand that. But ultimately, there's some things you just have to hand over to God. Let's move on here. Notice what it says. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. So wives, when you submit to your husband, it's as submitting to the Lord. Ultimately, this word submit really is in reference to respecting your husband. To respecting him. That's a way that you can love him. For a husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. See, it's symbolic. And he is the savior of his body, the church. And as a church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or without any blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as also their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. And as the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Listen, it's good to love your mama on this Mother's Day. I'm going to give you some advice, biblically, what we're just reading here. You, man, love your mama. Some of you are mama's boys. Nothing wrong with that. But that mama should not be in the middle between you and your wife. If she is, you need to put your mama in her right place. Amen? I love you, mamas. But don't get in the middle of your son's marriage or your daughter's marriage. And as scriptures say, it says, this is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of a way that Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband. Many wives, when they hear this word respect, they have a tough time with it, or they have a tough time with this idea of submitting to their husband. It's really more of an issue of respect. And I understand it to a point where sometimes it's that husband has not lived up to what he said he would do. Sometimes it's the fact that you do not trust your husband because of his actions, and it's hard to respect them. Sometimes it's because they have not shown the love in which you need and desire, and it's hard to respect them. It's true. That does happen. But as I just mentioned before, you need to let God do his part, and you need to do your part in which God has called you to do. He's called the husband to love their wife. Husbands, love your wife. Wives, submit and show respect to your husband. You need to see this idea of submitting to him, kind of give you a picture, is let's suppose an 18-wheeler is trying to merge onto the freeway. And as it's starting to merge onto the freeway, you have in the right-hand lane a small sedan, like a Ford Focus, something like that, that is in the right-hand lane, and the 18-wheeler is coming on, but the sedan has the right-of-way, and the 18-wheeler is coming on. Now, some of you women, you think to yourself, well, you know what? Why should I submit to my husband? I'm smarter than my husband, maybe. I'm better looking than my husband. No argument there. You know, I have more money than my husband. I make more money than my husband. I could do this more than my husband. And you may be correct in all those things, but biblically, what does it say? Submit to your husband. And so this idea of it doesn't make you weaker. It doesn't make you, not as intelligent as your husband. That's not the issue here. The issue is that the God-ordained role in which God has given you is to follow the lead and show respect to your husband. Just as an 18-wheeler would have to merge and wait and let that sedan go on ahead. You see, the God has given you an ordained role. Husbands, he's given you an ordained role. Husbands, he's called you to be in the driver's seat. And what has happened in some of our homes in America and across the world is because husbands are not in the driver's seat the way they should be because they're not being the man of God in which God has called them to be and to rise up to be. No one's steering the vehicle. And so there have been many wives who have had to jump out of the passenger seat and jump into the driver's seat and to start driving, because if not, the family was going to crash. The family was going to crash and burn and be in a lot of trouble. And so, moms, I tip my hat to you. Some of you are outside of your God-ordained role because you've had no choice. You've had to do what you've had to do. And husbands, you need to lead that family of yours. You need to be the man of God that she can respect. Now, whether he is being all that he should be in the Lord or not, ladies, listen, you need to do your part and God will do his. You need to respect him. You need to show honor to him. Why is this? We see this, all the way back here in Ephesians. We get some great marriage advice. When you read that passage there in chapter 5, you see this. This is what you see. This is from a book called Love and Respect. It's called The Crazy Cycle by Dr. Eggridge. I encourage you to read it, especially if you're getting married, you are married, you're having trouble in your marriage, read it. This is what we see biblically. This is true. The number one driving need for a man is to feel respected. Yes, he wants to feel loved, but he feels loved when he's respected. And when he feels respected by his spouse, he will show love in the way in which he wants to show love. He will show love to show that love in which his wife needs. When a wife feels loved by her husband, she's more apt to show respect to her husband. And so what happens in a marriage is that whoever starts first, whether it's the husband or the wife, it's usually both of us at some point in time in our marriage, but let's say the husband doesn't show love in the way he should show love to his wife. And when he does that, she thinks, man, he can't show me any love. Why should I show him any respect? Why should I do this for him? I do that for him. I'm not going to do that anymore for him. And so she reacts in a way that's not respectful. Then he acts in a way that towards her that is not loving. And you just get this crazy cycle going on and on and on and on. But when a man of God, when a woman of God, when they see what God has called them to do, when they see that they are stuck in this crazy cycle, they go, you know what? As a husband, I can't always help if my wife shows me the respect in which she should. But I can make sure that I show love to my wife the way God expects me to. When a wife is not feeling loved by her husband and she sees that and knows that she can make a choice, well, he's not showing me love, therefore I'm not going to show him respect. No, instead I'm going to say, you know what, I can't always help that my husband is not showing the love that he should, but I know God expects me to submit and to show respect to him. Someone has to stop the crazy cycle, or is she going to lead down a path of more hurt, more pain, and it's going to affect your children. You see, the best way to lead our children, to show our children, the best marriage that they will learn from is our own. More is caught than taught is what has been said. And so in your marriage, listen, this being Mother's Day. Respect your husbands. Husbands, love your wife. Mother's Day should be a day for us men to be reminded of how much we should cherish and love the women that God has put in our lives. When it comes to being a godly mother in an ungodly world, we are called to lead our children. This is what it says back over here in the book of Titus in verse 4. Asking these older women, must train younger women to love their husbands and their children. You know, one of the great things about church is this. And maybe you've had some bad experiences in church. We all have at one point or another because, hey, churches are filled with imperfect people. There will be times in which we are hurt. But it's also filled with some wonderful, godly men and women. And part of what we, I think, have lost in our society is having, when we are not in church, is that we miss out on the influence of godly men and women in our church, especially those dear older saints who have celebrated 40, 50, 60 years. And we have many of those in our church. They've been married for a long period of time, and they're so cute with one another. They love one another. They help one another. They've gone through some battles. They've gone through some tough times. They've been through the good times. And having those sweet folks around you to ask some questions, to have them pour into your life to help you in your marriage. See, that's what it's about. Church is about fellowship. It's about ministering one to another. And that's one way, biblically, we are seeing here in the book of Titus, it's calling for older men to minister to younger men. It's calling for older women to minister to younger women. So if you're watching this and you're older, and you've been married a while, you've seen some things. You've experienced some difficulty. You've experienced some wonderful things. Don't just keep that knowledge to yourself. God has given you that. He's given you those experiences to share with other people, with your sons, your daughters, with those you go to church with. He's called you to do so. We see it right here in the book of Titus. And called to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely, to be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, be submissive to their husbands. You see, a godly woman will lead their children. Will lead their children. On Facebook, on our church page, we had on there just some what are some sayings that your mother would like to say to you growing up. Here's just a couple. I can think back of times of my mother saying certain things. I'm sure you can as well. But here's one: is treat others the way you want to be treated. God doesn't like ugly. You get a lot more with honey than you do with vinegar. How true. Pretty is, pretty does. You see, loving your children does not mean that you always give them everything that they want, making sure that they keep up with the world. And I'll say this, if there is a breakdown in the area of a Christian home, is that moms and dads, do not let your children make their own spiritual decisions. Now, let me clarify that completely. Let me clarify that. Only a child can make their own decision when it comes to coming to the knowledge and the saving grace of Jesus Christ, by all means. But I have seen and have heard and have dealt with many moms and dads when it comes to in their home, that they will make sure that, man, their child has plenty of clothes. They'll make sure their child has plenty of food. But when it comes to the area of knowing God and learning more about the Bible, when it comes to the religious side of things, it goes, well, I'll just let them choose on their own. And they really don't give much direction for their child when it comes to spirituality. You see, biblically, God expects us as Christian mom and dads to lead our children to know Jesus Christ, to learn about Him, to learn about God, to grow up in a godly home, to teach them how to pray, to teach them how to have faith, to teach them how to trust. They are watching you. And it's important that we are faithfully teaching them the things of God. Now, I know some of you parents, you're watching, and, well, I take them to church, and that's wonderful. That is part of growing up in the faith. But what are you teaching them at your home? Are you praying with them at your home? Do you have times where you read the Bible together? Do you have times in which you're teaching them God, spiritual truths there at the home? They give examples. You see, it's just not my job. It's not just the youth pastor's job. It's not just the Sunday school teacher's job to teach your child. It's your job. And you might think to yourself, well, there's so much I don't know. Then you need to learn. You have a Bible. Read it. Study it. Be faithful in the Word. Be faithful in going to church. Be faithful in your study. Man up. Woman up. Do your job. Don't make excuses. You only get these little children for 18 years, and then they're off on their own. And God has given us time to mold them, to shape them in the way that He desires us to do so. Children are a lot like concrete. When you pour concrete, it's soft. You can write a big heart and put your initials in it that, you know, Lucas loves Amy. You know, you can do those kind of things. But there comes a time where it's going to harden up, and they're not going to be as teachable. They're not going to listen near as much. And some of that is just how God made us, right? For them to end up making their own choice. And there will come a time in which they will evaluate. They will evaluate how they were raised. They will evaluate and what they learned as a child. And they will look, is this going to be my faith, or am I going to live off my parents' faith? Every person comes to that point of decision at some point in time. But our job is to get them to a point where they see the evidence. They see how much God loves them. They learn those spiritual truths. Listen, godly mothers lead their children. That's what they do. That's what they do. And loving children requires this. It requires a couple of things. One is discipline. Discipline. A loving mother disciplines her children. This is what godly mothers do biblically. They lead their children. They discipline them. This is what Proverbs says in Proverbs 23. It says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. However discipline that you use, children need discipline from their father, from the mother. You ever hear those words as a kid? Wait till your dad gets home? Yeah. I heard that many, many different times. Not my favorite saying ever. But mothers, man, there's so much that they do disciplining their children. Sometimes there's this idea that, well, I can't direct them. They're not going to like me if I discipline them. The opposite is going to be true. The opposite is going to be true. Part of loving your child is doing some of those hard things when it comes to disciplining them. Here's the next one. Next one is installing and instill the Christian worldview. Teach them to love Jesus Christ. If you don't, someone else will teach them what to do concerning not following the Lord and not having a Christian worldview. You see, teach them to love Jesus. The best way you can teach them to love Jesus is by you loving Jesus. And when you love Jesus with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind, more is caught than taught. Moms and dads, they are watching. They're watching you. They're seeing how you love Jesus. They're seeing if you're matching up with what you learn at church, if you're matching that up with your life during the week. They're watching. They want to know, is this the real deal? Here's the other one, is caring. Caring for their spiritual, emotional, and physical needs. That's what godly mothers do. Not just providing the physical needs, but their spiritual, their emotional. Moms are very good at this. Husbands, we probably struggle more in this area than what our wives do. Notice what Scripture says. Scripture tells us in Psalms 127, children are a gift from the Lord, and they are a reward from Him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. This is what 2 Timothy says, 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. We see here with young Timothy, the young preacher that Paul was writing to, of the influence of his mother, the influence of his grandmother, and the women that were in their lives. There's so many godly, godly women that I'm so thankful for, that as I've heard testimonies, I've heard of their influence upon preachers, upon men and women of God, that because the prayers of a godly mother, they are in church. Because of the prayers of a godly mother, they now have a healthy family, a healthy life, one that pleases God. Listen, godly mothers, this is what they do. It's the struggle is worth it. It's worth it. So godly mothers, love your husband. Respect your husband. Lead your children. Here's the last but not least. Don't neglect your walk with Jesus. Most number one thing you should be a priority first before all else is making sure you have a walk with Jesus. And there's four areas I want to focus in on when it comes to walking with Jesus and which what godly mothers do, and really godly men. But godly mothers, they're self-controlled. They're self-controlled. Listen, we live in a time where there are many people who are not controlled. They only think of themselves. They're not interested in watching what the words they say. They're not interested in their actions. They're rude. They're mean. There's one thing I do enjoy about the South is that there's much more kindness at times here in the South than there is at other places of the country. Why? They are taught to be kind. There is a Christian influence. Notice what it says, 1 Timothy 2, 9. Women should be adorned themselves in respectable apparel and with modesty and self-control. You know, this goes for men, but as well with women and mothers. Watch what you say. Watch how you handle tough situations. God has called us to have self-control, just not to be controlled by every situation in our life. Self-control means that despite the situation that's going on and the circumstance around me, I'm going to stay calm, cool, and collected, and I'm going to act like a Christian man or a Christian woman should. There's something that says here, women should be adorned themselves in respectable apparel with modesty. I'm not going to get into a woman should wear this, a man should wear this, but you know, in modesty when you see it. And we live in a time where you can go to the grocery store, you can go many different places, and you can see apparel that is not respectable on women. Listen, godly women realize that their bodies are for their husband. It's not for other men who are around them. It's for their husband. And you need to dress in a way that will honor your husband and honor God and honor yourself. Because if you're looking for attention because you're not getting it the way you feel you should get it at home, or there's something missing in your life, you need to take that up with the Lord and say, Lord, maybe you simply are not walking with him the way you should, and you're looking for attention from other men. Listen, you're not going to get exactly what you want. In fact, that's a lie that we get from the enemy. The lie from the enemy is always wants to replace God's truth with a lie. What happens is we end up making a big mess of things. That's what we do in our lives. When we replace God's truth with a lie, we mess our lives up. And so we see that we are called, and this goes for men, but this is speaking directly to women. Women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel. Respect yourself, respect your God, respect your husband by what you wear. I know we don't hear that very often. That's not really very popular to say, but it's biblical, and it's great advice that 1 Timothy here gives us. So we see be self-controlled. We also see this. Be pure. This relates to the commitment to your marriage vows. This relates to spiritual influence in the home, of focusing on purity, of focusing on doing what is right, on what you allow in your home that influences your children and your family. Is it good? Is it something that we can think on that is pure, that is right? What are we allowing our children to watch on TV? What are we watching on TV? What are we allowing into our lives? In other words, be pure. Yes, this has to deal with sexuality to a certain extent, but it also deals with what we allow concerning sin into our homes, into our lives. Moms and dads, you are the filter for your family. And when you filter it through the Word of God, you can have wisdom. You can have discernment. 1 Peter says this in chapter 3. It says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands so that even if you do not obey the word, that they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. And when they see your respect and pure conduct. Maybe you're watching and your husband does not go to church. Your husband is not a Christian. Peter is telling us that, wives, your influence, the way that you live for God, will influence your husband for the kingdom of God. So it tells you what to do. Show your respect to him. Be pure in your conduct. In other words, be godly. And when we are godly, we are the light and we are the salt in which Christ has called us to be. This also mentions work at home. In the time of Titus, there were false teachers who were dividing families with their teaching, and many worldly elements worked against the families of that day. And Paul is not prohibiting women to work outside of the home, but he is urging them to at the home to take the position, to make that home a priority in their lives. So some of you wives, you're watching right now, you work somewhere. Nothing wrong with that. But I can tell you, typically, women are the nurturers. Women take a house and they turn it into a home. God has typically not given us men that gift. We view things differently. As you know, men and women are they're different. We view things differently. We look at things, situations differently. There's things that we can handle that you can't handle. There's things you can handle that we can't handle. And that's why God brings a husband and wife together to be a team. In other words, make your home a priority. I love that my wife and my mother growing up did that. Here's the fourth one, is be kind. We live in a cruel world. So many of you mamas, you teach us boys to be kind. You teach the daughters to be kind. I'm thankful for that. But I also know that in this day and age, there are some who are not. They don't teach kindness by the way they live their life. In other words, they teach the opposite. And a godly mother does just this. Kindness deals with doing good, being a benevolent toward others, showing hospitality, having a giving nature. Moms, I thank the Lord for you. Without mothers in our lives, without mothers in our church, we simply would not be all that God wants us to be. There's so much that you've taught us, so much that I can think of my mother impressed upon me. I think back of something my mother would say to us, that she told us four boys, you are my ministry. Moms, you have a ministry. Dads, you have a ministry, but moms, you have such an important, unique ministry of raising your children. God has given that to you. Don't miss out on that. Don't miss out on leading those children to Christ, of helping them become more Christ-like. He's given you and your husband that responsibility. The question is, will you follow the Lord in that? I'll end with this Bible verse. I'll end with this Bible verse. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Notice this, impress them on their children. talk about them whenever you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Listen, moms and dads, if you need to be impressing the things of God upon your children, that is your job. It's good to take them to church. It's good to do that in your family and to have that practice. You need to do that. But husbands and wives, are you impressing them upon your children like God's called you to do so? I pray that if you're not, that on this Mother's Day, you're reminded of your God-ordained role. That you're reminded of what biblically, what godly women are called to do. I'm praying for you mothers. And before we end, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we end. Father, thank you for the cross. And because of the cross, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, because he rose again from the grave, we can have godly mothers in our lives. That we can experience you and who changes us, that changes mothers from being ungodly to godly. So, Father, I pray that here today, that those who are far from you, those who may not even like this message here this morning, Lord, because it goes against the grain of what the world says and teaches, I pray that they will see, the truth of your word apply to their lives and repent where they need to repent, to follow you with all their heart, soul, and mind, that mothers will continue to influence their families, their communities, and their world. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.